Good morning. We greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Especially would like to bring greetings from our home congregation at Shade Mountain. And maybe I will just add with that a prayer request to keep on your mind. There's a young man, the only son of Dwayne and Helen Hirsch, has been in the hospital for several days, and seems like there's still much uncertainty as to what is the cause of his sickness, but there's a lot of, maybe we would say, unrest. He's very, very restless and on sedatives some of the time, and I just ask you to pray for Dwayne and Helen and Derek and the rest of the Hirsch family through this time. As we think of the resurrection morning, I thought I'd almost ashamed to quit singing, and yet we know the Word has much for us as well. And I do thank Brother John for the enthusiastic leading and the singing that we were able to enjoy as we sang about the resurrection morning, the time of which Christ rose from the dead, and all that it means to us in our Christian lives. And I would like to look at a message this morning with the title, What Does the Resurrection of Jesus Christ Mean to Me? Question, a personal question. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? 2,000 years ago, the plan that was based on the fact that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son began to unfold. A baby was born to the Virgin Mary to grow and to live a life of perfection before us. This child grew into a man and spent three and a half years teaching humanity how to live a holy life. We well know the story of Jesus' torture, his crucifixion, and his death. And finally, after 3 days in the grave, he arose triumphant over death. In the world and society in which we live, there is much attention given to the birth of Jesus. We many times refer to it as the commercialization of Christmas. And I believe it would be fair to say there's also the commercialization of Easter. Christmas and Easter are two very important holidays in the society in which we live, but is the meaning really being observed? The example and teachings of Jesus and the power of the resurrection receive very little, if any, attention in Christianity, professing Christianity today. And as I already mentioned, I would like to make this personal. Look at the question, what does the resurrection mean to me? We are told that Easter Sunday brings more people to church than any other Sunday, any other day of the year. And of course, we say, and it is good, at least they're in church. At least they're attending a worship service. But is that what the resurrection means? It's a morning to, out of all the Sunday mornings of the year, it's a morning to be in church. Families get together for lunch on Easter Sunday, and family is very important. But is that what the resurrection means to me? All around us there are the Easter bunnies and the Easter egg hunts. In fact, many, many churches even host these events. But is that what the resurrection means to me? Is that what the resurrection means to you? I ask the question, what does the resurrection mean to our children? What are we teaching them? Do our actions and our words, or I said that backwards, do our words and our actions line up? You know, if we want our children to embrace the importance of the resurrection, they must be able to observe the outworking in our lives. Must be able to see the power of the resurrection in the life of mom and dad. This morning I would like to look at a number of verses before we go into the message. I realize it's quite a number of verses, but I appreciate looking at the scripture, I think it's God-inspired. It has more of a message than what our thoughts are, and also the various details that are given in the different Gospels. I would like to read Matthew and John and just a few verses from Luke as we're turning past it. Let's start with the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the scene of the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, I would like to read the first 15 verses. Matthew 28 and verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." And I might just pause there and ask you to try to imagine with me a bit the scene. You know, as Jesus was suffering on the cross, the sky was darkened. And I don't know all the details, I just imagine. But was the weather then cloudy and dreary throughout the time he spent in the grave? And was the resurrection morning just a little bit like this morning, as there had been rain last evening and then the sun came out? Was the resurrection morning one of those beautiful spring mornings where there was still some fog and some clouds hanging in the valleys? The sun was breaking through. There was a dawning of a new day. Verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for behold," I'm sorry, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Just one highlight before moving on to another passage. When the women came to the sepulchre and they met those angels, I was just amazed with this wording. Verse 6, "He is not here, but he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly." You know, this morning, if we have a message to share, we must first have observed. We must first have experienced and been able to see and understand before we can share a message with others. Turn with me to the book of Luke, as we want to read a number of verses from John, but we'll just stop at Luke 24 and read just a few verses, a few more of the details of the resurrection story. I'd like to just read verses 5 through 8. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they," the two men in shining garments at the end of verse 4, "said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." Now, John chapter 20. We will comment just briefly on this later, but notice individual Mary Magdalene as we read this passage. John 20, the first 18 verses. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And when they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And we could spend a lot of time on each of these passages, but I would like to just briefly, again, try to paint a picture of what the resurrection meant at the time it occurred. To the disciples, the resurrection did not seem possible, even after all Jesus' teaching. The scriptures we read clearly state that they believed not. John 20 and verse 9, For as yet they knew not the scripture. And to compound the grief that they were experiencing, Christ's body disappeared. As if it was not enough that their teacher had been tortured and murdered, the body disappeared. They could not even pay their respects by anointing the body with spices. But once the truth began to sink into their consciousness, that the resurrection had occurred, and that it meant that their dearest friend and teacher was again alive. I do not believe that at this point the disciples understood the impact of this event on their everyday lives. I do not believe they realized the power that it would give them in everyday living. On the contrary, and this might be a thought that we need to carry with us. You know, the disciples, as we mentioned, had struggles believing. But on the contrary, the religious leaders had no trouble believing that Jesus rose from the dead. According to the account in Matthew, they paid the guards to start a story. They paid the guards to start a story that should have cost them their lives. But the religious leaders were so desperate to minimize the influence of Jesus Christ that they were willing to secure the guards before the governor. But as I mentioned, to keep your minds on this passage in John, one of the most touching scenes surrounding the resurrection is that of Jesus' meeting with Mary Magdalene. Mark 16 tells us that Jesus had cast out of her seven devils, and we see her standing here in this passage in John, weeping and occasionally glancing into the tomb. And I just wonder, where would you and I have been that morning? Would we have been there like Mary? So much had been done for us that we would have been standing there, weeping, glancing into the tomb. Do we see the love that she had for Jesus? And I just noticed again in reading over this passage, when the question came to her in verse 13, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." And it just wonders me if maybe Mary's faith wasn't, and her understanding wasn't a bit stronger even than the disciples. She refers to him at this point as her Lord. I believe this is an example of the scripture that says, "To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much." I believe that is the experience that Mary Magdalene had at this point. Looking more at our question, what does the resurrection mean to me? I have seven things jotted down that the resurrection means to me, to you and I as Christian people. What does the resurrection mean to me? It means that we serve a living Lord and Savior. Matthew 28:6, "He is not here, but risen." Luke 24, verse 6, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you." And they remembered his words. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul teaching here on the resurrection, taking it from the resurrection of Christ into the future resurrection of the believers. It's hard to know where to start and stop in this passage, but we'll look at just a few verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Dropping down to verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of him that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." I believe this is the most important point this morning. Of all the people in the world, of all the religions around us, Christians are the only people who serve a living Lord. We are faced with the influence of Islam, and they have their holy places that were part of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. But he was a man who indulged in his own lusts and hatred and taught his followers the same. And this morning, his grave is still unopened. We could look at others. We could look at those in our own country, the Mormons. The grave of their leader is still unopened. But this morning, you and I serve a risen Lord, a Lord who taught self-denial, a Lord who taught others first instead of me first, a living Lord who taught us to love our enemies instead of hatred and murder, a Lord who taught us forgiveness instead of grudges. We serve a living Lord. And the challenge comes to me from the passages we read. I believe it was the one in Luke. "We do not seek the living among the dead." This morning, friends, we do not and cannot seek the Lord Jesus Christ and a life of satisfaction in the dead things of this world. Just a challenge to leave with us. Number two, what does the resurrection mean to me? It means new life in Christ, which includes power to live above sin. Romans chapter 6, it's a beautiful passage concerning the new life, the power to live above sin. I believe we'll just let that for you to study on your own, but It is a scripture that has become very, very dear to me as I have looked over it numerous times. I believe this morning, to understand the power of the resurrection, we need to personally experience the power. I don't believe we will understand it any other way than to personally experience the power to live above sin. And I believe as we do this, our understanding will grow. Of course, we know that we will always have the carnal nature. But it is to be crucified. It is to be put to death so that spiritually we can walk in newness of life. When we experience newness of life, we have a new master. We have a new set of desires. Instead of living for self and selfish appetites, we live for Jesus Christ. We no longer serve sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The scripture says, but we have been raised to new life. Paul said, that I may know him. It was his desire, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The power of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that we have unlimited divine power available to live pure and holy lives. But we have to accept that power. You know, and I think all of us can say that we've had our struggles in life with temptation, with habits. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we do not always make that power available, do we? We're not willing to accept it. Why? Because of the, shall we call it, the pain of self-denial? The resurrection power gives us new life. Power to reject lustful thoughts. Gives us the power to remain faithful to our spouse throughout life in spite of the wicked world in which we live. Gives us the power to control our tongue, just for a few. There's much more that we could say there. Number three, what does the resurrection mean to me? The resurrection means that we have a message for others. And we could go back to the end of Matthew chapter 28, and we could notice the Great Commission. In fact, maybe we'll just take the time to do that. I think it's something that we need to be reminded of. That because of the resurrection, we have a message for others. Matthew chapter 28, the last few verses there. Jesus' parting words, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What reason would we have to promote the good news of the gospel if there was no resurrection? I believe it said in Corinthians there that we would be false witnesses, I believe was the word it mentioned there. But what reason would we have to promote the gospel if there was no resurrection? Why would we pray for the lost around us? Why would we teach our children the things of God and Christian living if Christ were still dead? This morning we have a message for others because of the resurrection. We have a reason to desire that our children would follow in our footsteps. We have a reason to be concerned for our neighbors. And it's a reason far deeper than just wanting them to admire us, wanting them to agree with us. We want them to experience the resurrection and all that it entails. What does the resurrection mean to me? Number four. And this one should be very important to us, I believe. If we can truly grasp what we have been saved from. Number four, we are delivered from the wrath to come. That is what the resurrection means to me. One of the things. We are delivered from the wrath to come. And if we truly understand what we were without Christ, and if we truly understand the punishment that awaited us, I believe we will be blessed with this thought. We are delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. says this, breaking into a middle of a thought, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, Christ's death and resurrection not only provided victory over sin in this life, it also provided a way of escape from eternal judgment. And I believe if we could truly grasp the wrath of God toward those who refuse his provision, toward those who think they can find their own way into his presence, I believe we would also get a renewed appreciation for the meaning of the resurrection. It is Jesus who stands, as it were, between man and the wrath of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Revelation talks of the winepress of the wrath of God. John chapter 3 and verse 18, just following that verse that speaks of God's love, it says this: he that believeth not is condemned already. We are delivered from the wrath to come. And just following that thought of the fact that it is Jesus who stands between man and God, what does the resurrection mean to me? Number 5, it means that we have a mediator. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and also Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Turn over a page to Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One of the benefits of the resurrection is the fact that we have a mediator. We think back to the story of Job and his words. As he looked forward to the blessing of a mediator, remember, he cried out in his time of trial, Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both. Picturing an individual that would stand between man and God. Because Jesus Christ was all man, because he faced similar temptations, because he learned obedience by submitting to his Father's plan, he is an understanding high priest, an understanding mediator. He can reach down, we would say, and lay his hand upon humanity and represent them before God. But because he is divine and sinless, and because he has the right to be in God's presence and to plead for those who he shed his blood for, he can also reach up to God. He can span the distance between man and God. Because of the resurrection, we have a mediator. What does the resurrection mean to me this morning? Number 6 means that we have the hope of eternal life. And there's various scriptures we could look at there. But the grave is not the end. Regardless of how we are living, the grave is not the end. If we are not right with God, physical death is but the entrance into eternal death and indescribable suffering. But if we have believed and accepted Christ's work, then his resurrection gives us hope of a bodily resurrection and entrance into life eternal and endless bliss. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: and many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Because we have hope of eternal life, death has lost its sting. And I will just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Why? Because sin separates. When we contemplate our own passing, or when we stand by the bedside of a loved one taking their final breath, It is this hope, this assurance of eternal life that gives us peace. We have the hope of eternal life. And last of all this morning, what does the resurrection mean to me? The resurrection means that we have a returning Lord. Because he rose from the dead and ascended back to the presence of his Father, we have the promise of a returning Lord. And I would just like to, rather than make many comments on that point, just read quickly a few verses, the promise of his return. John chapter 14. Starts out very familiar, let not your heart be troubled, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, the promise, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Acts chapter 1, the scene of Christ's ascension. It simply says this, and while the disciples look steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Again, the promise of a returning Lord. And I would like to just close with the last verses of the Bible, Revelation 22. Resurrection means that we have a returning Lord. Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then the prayer of those who are faithful and prepared, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, this morning we looked at, from our perspective as humans, we looked at a historical event. The resurrection was something that happened many years ago, and yet it is a present event in the life of the Christian. The resurrection from sin and the power of sin, the resurrection to newness of life. My question that I would like to leave with us this morning is, have you allowed these events, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to do their work in your life? Jesus did not go through these experiences just to make history. He came to redeem fallen humanity. He came to redeem you and I back to himself. Have you accepted his provision? Are your sins forgiven? Are you enjoying resurrection power in your life? And are you watching and waiting for his return? Let's kneel for prayer.